This week on your Old School RuneScape update, we return to Varlamore with quests covering culture, combat, and the frog agenda. From executions to labor disputes, we survey Varlamore while looking at mining and the moons once more. Also, a discussion on Project Rebalance's framing issues. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 21, recorded Saturday, March 30th, 2024. The Union of Frogs and Xenophobes. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are back this week after a fun experience with Varlamore week two. I know I had a week two. I don't know about yours. How that was.
I don't know. It's already sort of. I mean, I still went there to check some things out, but in part, it's already integrated. In my daily farming runs and what have you.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a good sign of a good update, and we're gonna dive through all that. We're gonna talk quests and lore this week. We're gonna talk a bit about mining and prayer, some of the changes, and at the tail end of the show, we'll have a look in at what's going on with Project Rebalance, and of course, Easter 2024 as we are recording this. On Easter weekend. If you want to follow along, full show notes can be found at update.show/OS. We also have a friends chat in-game, which is BitSpites, and the community Discord is over at update.show/Discord. You can find me in-game at Shane12088 and Sirion, Sirion with a C. Indeed. And I should also mention, for people listening to the show, you'll have noticed that we have some new opening audio, and we have to, of course, give a big thank you to Arcane for that, because as we've mentioned last week on the podcast, when he was on the show, he produced our initial intro and closeout, and knowing that this was the Old School show and hearing the way the show sounded after he was on it, he said, well, let's make the show sound a little bit more like Old School RuneScape. And that was a wonderful surprise to the both of us this week when we first heard his renditions of the opening and closeout update theme song put to Old School RuneScape. So big, huge thank you.
Yeah, like making music, making media music like that, it's not just as simple either as taking like an existing track and throwing a filter over it. Like, you need to pay so much attention to, you know, making it all sound good and clear with, you know, the limited form of expression you have. And I think he nailed the Old School vibe of the tracks as well.
And of course, that's what the show is all about. We talk about that each and every week, and that's the thing we've really, really been enjoying as we go through our Old School RuneScape adventures. So let's just start with some of these Varlamore quests. Twilight's Promise, and this was the quest that most people are going to do when they first get to Varlamore. And the reason you do this, of course, if you're not into questing, but I mean, who isn't into questing in this day and age, right? You unlock this quest to unlock the Quetzal transportation network. Am I saying that right? Quetzal? Like pretzel?
Yeah, Quetzal.
Okay. Fair enough. Quetzal.
No, yeah, Quetzal. Yeah.
I enjoyed this quest, and you remember our discussion we had when Children of the Sun came out about how there was a bit of a peek and preview into how things might happen in Varlamore, and we were a little bit shocked just how quickly that, you know, they'd maybe consider turning on one or the other. And I feel like that same general feeling continues in Twilight's Promise here, where you are fresh into Varlamore, and your character is in many ways kind of shocked at what you see in this quest, because you're witnessing a different culture, different than the culture that your character is aware of, right? And as such, everything you see in this quest kind of feels as though, oh my god, they're taking it up to 11 in this case, but they're rolling out the red carpet for me as somebody who's visiting, and it kind of just gives a feeling of duality, I'd say, on that. And I'm not saying that in a way that's an issue with the quest. I'm just saying that the way they govern themselves from justice to everything about matters of internal affairs can be quite shocking to outsiders, is how I'd probably put this.
Yeah, I don't think the last word has been said about this, but yeah, no. Like, I think.
And of course, we're talking about the assassination attempt.
Yeah, what I really liked about this quest, right, is that it clearly is designed to send you to like the corners of the city and sort of give you a little bit of context of what's going on in the city and what's what and what's where.
Yeah.
Like you get shown to the port and the Colosseum and the outskirts, and then later on you go, you know, onto what is it called? Is it Tiamat, or am I now confusing it with like the mountain, Raylis's Rise? You know, you sort of get like a good overview of everything, but it didn't feel too forced. Like it all fit within the story pretty well.
Yeah.
You got some initial exposure to, you know, pickpocketing and all that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're definitely not done on the lore angle on this, and just how quick they're willing to, you know, throw you into the plot of trying to figure out, you know, who potentially could have been at fault. And then, you know, I feel like the most shocking thing here, and you know, I definitely threw you for one with this back in the day, and you weren't around way back when RuneScape quests were killing and torturing people. But back then, I said I enjoyed watching that, and I threw you for one this week here when I said I enjoyed the fact that they went straight to the execution, which is a little bit shocking, right?
I find it a bit sus. But we'll see.
Oh, so you think there's something else that they could potentially be pulling on and waiting on for that?
Yeah. I mean, the twins, they're super suspicious in my books. And you get hinted at that, right? Like,
yeah.
The character says their doubts, and like the prince and what's he called, high priest, both say, nah. They've been super loyal, but then later on in the quest, you're like, oh yeah, they used to be in charge of all of Varlamor, and now they're not, but they're over it. It's all right. I'm like, yeah, sure, they're over it. I'm keeping my eye on them. Like, and then like the quick killing after the guard's like, hey, I've been, you know, I'm being staged for this, but before he could defend himself, he's just stabbed. The whole thing is super sus.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. We were told there would be intrigue and whatnot in Varlamor, and we're definitely seeing it there with that. And you know, that is something that I think could be one of the most interesting things that they wind up pulling off with Varlamor if they, you know, do continue to go down that track. And the sus element, as you say, keeps rearing its head, is that, you know, RuneScape quests really haven't done intrigue all that much, and I think Varlamor would be a nice vessel for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I mean, you haven't seen a Kingdom Divided yet. There's a bunch of intrigue in that, I think. Like, I think there is a lot of good lore under those storylines as well. And I think, you know, this... Yeah, it's starting to get to the same level. So I think this continent is shaping up to be like an amazing playground for geopolitical storylines.
Yeah, which is something I'm always interested in. And, you know, RuneScape, for their own part to do that, it's good to see them trying that. They also mentioned something called the Old Ones at the very, very tail end of this quest. A belief passed down from the Old Ones saying that the final dawn being an interpretation of it, and there's differences in the interpretation of what was being talked about. And I feel like that was kind of pointing us to the quest we go to next on this one, where we actually go into that city with Perilous Moons. And of course, we talked about Perilous Moons last week in terms of the combat encounter. But quest-wise, I mean, I feel like it was largely combat tutorial and the little bit of lore that we came up with at the end, and when we first discovered more about the old ones.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a hugely, you know, deep and impressive quest, but I think, you know, I like that it establishes this combat encounter and it gives it a reason, and it gives it a reason to repeat it. Another thing I kind of liked about the start of this quest is that there's actually now a place where you as adventurer are unwelcome, right? Like, that's the perhaps somewhat unrealistic situation in all of Gelenor, like, wherever you show up, and you show up and like, hey, do you have a quest for me? And everybody's happy to have you.
Didn't the cave goblins not want us initially?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a more different situation. I think that's more distrust and not necessarily
no outsiders allowed.
Yeah, exactly. So I like the concept of a more xenophobe society. They drop it relatively quickly after the quest, but you know, to me, that exploring that, and maybe we'll see more of that, could be interesting, could lead to interesting interpersonal relations and sort of trust building, which is always an interesting character arc.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true.
And perhaps through that, you learn the source of that distrust, right? And then it's such a beautiful vessel for storytelling. So I really liked seeing that. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, well, I'm only here to help. But at the same time, from like more, you know, outsider perspective, I think it was a fun touch and a good touch.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing in addition to that I was most interested in was that the Perilous Moons quest also felt like it had an element of discovery to it, in particular continuing on with the exposition on the old ones, and in particular maybe uncovering a little bit about how things might have worked back then, because old ones, of course, were supposedly the ancient race of inhabitants that lived at modern-day Varlamor, of course, who are gone now, and that's kind of what we're seeing with the murals inside here and what some of the lore elements are pointing to with this. And, you know, I've always been one for those kind of history quests and kind of uncovering the mysteries of Gelenor's history, no matter which version of RuneScape it is. So I was happy when I got to, you know, kind of see a bit of that, even if it was a bit short. But I agree with you that this quest was largely a vessel for teaching the bosses. So
yeah, and like, you know, setting up the camps and all that, and getting a sense of like what resources are there. Once more, in a pretty natural way. Like it didn't feel all too, you know, it's of course it's a tutorial, but it doesn't feel too much like a chore.
No. And I think the best thing about that is that you mentioned it doesn't feel like a tutorial, and it doesn't feel too much like a chore. And you don't realize this when you're doing this, unless you read a guide or you read ahead. But you're actually doing a boss encounter. The boss encounter that everybody else is doing, which I think is very interesting and a neat way of approaching that.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did your moon business go this week?
Yeah, so one of the big complaints was, of course, that the Blood Moon is significantly harder than the other ones, largely because, you know, by a lot of people, especially the target audience, it feels like a DPS check because of the randomness of the healing. So I decided to give the bosses another try this week. I definitely had a little bit more trouble with the Twilight boss this time around, so I realized I hadn't drunk my boosting potion. So
that'd do it.
Fair enough. That will do it. That's like 15 levels of difference, right? Blue Moon was also like very similar to before. But yeah, the Blood Moon, I had to teleport out because I forgot that there was only one Jaguar you're supposed to attack, and not just anyone. So my health started going down pretty quickly. But then the second one, I did manage to get a kill in. It's still... It feels grindy, especially like the last 100, 150 hit points.
Yeah.
You know, you feel you're making progress, and boom, 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 you get hit for 30 hit points, and it heals again. I don't know. Maybe it feels a little bit better, or maybe I just got better at the boss, but I don't quite feel it's on the same level yet.
I think the issue comes down to the randomness of the healing. And
yeah,
we were watching this. I was watching you as you were doing this. And as far as I can tell, and I think as far as you can tell, is that the boss is not healing when you eat, which is something that was, you know, still exactly. out for discussion last week.
Yeah, it's not what I could notice, at least, but it heals off your attacks, like of your hits on you. You know, I took special attention, and you know, I was doubting between bringing a defender and bringing a shield, but ultimately the shield didn't add that much. Like I checked the gear, and it felt like it didn't add that much extra damage to outweigh, you know, the extra damage you get from the extra offense you get from.
I think the shield's the right choice, unless you know have probably tier 75 plus gear.
I mean, it depends, right? Like the shield reduces the chance you get hit, but the Dragon Defender will reduce the number of times you're being hit because the fight goes faster, and you need to strike the right balance there. You know, maybe the shield is the right option here. I don't know. It might depend on your stats as well. From what I can tell, though, like my goal right now in the game is to get to level 70 defense, switch to Barrow's army, because that's going to be a huge step up.
Mm-hmm. Imagine doing that fight with Guthans.
Yeah, or not even Guthans. Even, which one is it?
Torag?
Dorag, yeah, exactly.
Because that one lowers defense, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that might be really good.
Isn't it wonderful that after all these years, I still have all the set effects of the Barrow's armor remembered, even though I've never used it in years? Sorry, I just had to point that out.
Like I let me just double check what it suggests here.
I feel like it was like around 70-ish that it suggested in terms of gear. Unless you're talking about the offensive side, which, I mean, in that case, the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, okay. I thought the wiki suggested a specific set, but it just says Barrow's armor. Which, yeah, to be fair, I think it makes sense. I think either Darok, because that does more damage as your hit points decrease, right? So you can...
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Torag is lowering run energy.
Torag is running here.
And we know Darok's is the plane damage boost.
Right, Varrok is probably the one.
Varrok hits through prayer.
And armor.
Okay, fair enough.
And defense. Attacks have a 25% chance of ignoring any armor, defense, and protection prayer.
Okay, so that's you're right, and you know, we were actually remarking about this in questing this week. Varrok's armor set is only 630k.
Yeah, like the Barrow's armor sets. Like I mean, Darok is quite expensive at 5 mil, and Arim is quite expensive at 6.7 mil. But like Guffin's Torak and Varrok are like 600, 700, 900k, so less than a mil.
Yeah, good choices, and I mean that's all the more reason to get 70 defense.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on. I'm glad I got a bunch of smithing levels, because that's gonna reduce the repair costs, of course.
Of course. I haven't gone back to the moons yet, but I kind of want to. But I want to get 70 defense first, and I think that's where I'm going next week. But we did promise Varlamor quest this week. At first light, this was an okay quest. It was nice and short, and it unlocked Master Tier Hunter rumors. I don't necessarily know that there's much to say in particular about this one, except it acquaints you with more figures in the Hunter Guild and surrounding area.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it's probably a good introduction as well to some of the hunter creatures that you can find in Varlamor. There's a fun interaction with the little cat in the basement of the Hunter Guild, who I didn't even notice was there until doing the quest.
Yeah, same.
So, but you know, you do this one if you want to unlock Master Tier Hunter rumors. Nothing really that big lore focused in this one, I want to say. I feel like the most interesting line of dialogue was how the woman was talking to you, Atsa, when you were repairing that trap up there in the house.
Yeah.
And I also go back to the thing that you said about how this is the entire, you know, Varlamor experience in the fact that there's a big city there. And not only are you working within the palace in that first quest, but with this one, you're kind of heading out into the outer slums of the city, which I think is interesting because, you know, we know those exist in places like Varrock and whatnot, but it's not something we necessarily think about there. And it was just nice, I guess, seeing the entire spectrum of all that was available in the city and immediately south of it.
Yeah.
So, not much to say on this one, I don't think. Unless you...
No, I think it was pretty straightforward. I enjoyed it.
You want to just get to the next one, don't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. The reason I kind of like quests like these is that it shows that quests just doesn't have to be huge or lore heavy, or like all it does is it makes the world feel a little bit more lifting.
Yes,
it just feels it make a little bit more alive, and that to me is already, you know, worth quite a lot.
Yeah, and I also feel like if you ship this update without these quests, in particular this one and the next one, you would have content, right? But you wouldn't have the full rounded experience, is how I'd like to say it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So.
Mm-hmm.
I also think this next quest potentially has the longest quest name in RuneScape. Somebody can fact check me on that. The Ribbiting Tale of a Lily Pad Labor Dispute.
It is the longest quest name, and it is also one character below the maximum limit that the technical systems allow.
Oh, okay. Where'd you hear that?
It's on the wiki.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. What, pray tell, are we going to be talking about in The Ribbiting Tale of a Lily Pad Labor Dispute?
I mean, we have to talk about how much trouble we had with the final boss of this quest. I mean...
Oh, my God.
Oh...
It's so difficult.
Blood Moon is nothing compared to the Dreadlord.
One hit point, folks. One hit point. But I don't know how to describe this quest except for the fact that if you need a good laugh on Easter weekend, go and do this quest. It requires Children of the Sun and 15 woodcutting. There's just so much commentary in here in terms of political operations that you would find in the real world, from references to like first past the post system, labor relations, unions, political assassinations, amongst other things, strikes. It's got everything in that regard. And, you know, you always walk a dangerous line when you bring these references into something like a game, because you risk telling the audience that you're on one side or the other of what you're talking about. But that didn't happen in this quest because it was so damn satirical in here that the fact that the frogs are terrifying Marcellus, and there's some sort of labor dispute going on there. And the very fact the entire quest is figuring out a way to deal with that, and you wind up witnessing the frogs first pass the post system, and then you say that, well, we can, you know, maybe, you know, do some vote rigging or some sabotage in the first pass the post system by, you know, damaging the frog's lily pad. And you do that, and you don't know what's going to happen with that. You think that it's just going to make, you know, one frog go further. But the frog that uses the damaged lily pad dies in the end. Which is, of course, yep. the analogy for political assassination on that.
Yeah, I had so much.
It sounded like you were falling out of your chair when we were doing this.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if you just give us a history of doing these quests, right? Like, I think getting ahead was the similar one in Cabos.
Yes,
Cabos Lowlands. Yeah. This does it so much better, right? Like, to me,
and it's shorter too, and more contained.
Yeah,
which I think is wonderful that you're able to do something like this in such a small area and in such a short quest. Because if you look at the wiki on it, there's, you know, two to three sections on it based on however you want to, you know, look at that. So, and what was the name of the creature you saw with an orange on its head again?
Capybara.
Just sitting there in the cutscene.
Yeah.
Us talking about it is not gonna spread the joy of this quest. You definitely need to go and do this one if you want a good laugh, and if you also want access to a new hardwood farming patch, which I haven't had a chance to think of how I'm gonna work that into here yet, because this is very far from most teleports. I think your best bet on this one's probably going to be the fairy ring.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, one quest point, 2,000 woodcutting XP, but holy crap, what a quest.
I had a lot of fun with it. And I think if you look at all of these quests, they are all so different. And I think each one exposes like a completely different aspect of the continent, and together they create like a really lively and whole image.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were going to just take one thing and, you know, say, hey, this is something that RuneScape does, I would be sending people to go do this quest. And, you know, if somebody ever says that they want a, you know, a satirical, nonsensical quest that's going to give them a laugh, I'm going to send them to do this one now.
Yeah.
So, all right. Varlamor questing aside, there's been some other things that we've been doing in Varlamor after about 10 days or so. How are you feeling that it's lasting?
I mean, just looking at the questing as a whole and the lore as a whole, like, so far what I really like is that it... I mean, I was talking to you. The biome there feels different, right? Like, it really feels like a foreign part of the world.
Yeah.
And you know, like,
we touched on that in the first one, in the first quest, with how the story went, and you know, you pointed that out at the Hunter Guild as well. Biome. So.
Yeah, like it's a savanna, right? And I love how, you know, you see sort of the different cultural influences. Like, part of the Varlamor setup, I wanted to say Roman, but it also, I mean, the Colosseum and sort of all of that is obviously Roman. But there's also a bazaar. And then there's like the cypress trees, which makes it feels a little bit more like Greek, I would say. Like,
yep.
More in that, yep, corner. So, and it meshes all of them together it's sort of a setup that I really enjoy. Like, it's both colorful and grand. It's both foreign and familiar. And that, to me, like, that's always been a thing that Corrant hasn't done.
Right, because Corrant really kind of felt like an expansion on the big three cities of Lumbridge, Falador, Varrock, right? Just different
well,
out
yeah,
west.
Yeah, and I think they did really well with like sort of bringing in the new style that we also see on the Isle of Souls that we brought up in several episodes already in like the newer reworked areas. But like if you look at Arceus or Lovakang, you know, that I don't want to call it bottle content, but it feels, you know, there's more asset reuse there. And in the case of Arceus, just a few weird ground colors as well, which makes it feel a little bit too weird.
Yeah,
by my books.
Right. And you know, I'm gonna go out on the limb here, and I think I'm gonna say it feels that way because the old school way of doing things back when things like Corrant came out was that there wasn't really you know, true old school identity with that. Whereas now we're seeing that as we head, you know, into the latter half of the 2020s, dare I say, for old school, they are taking the license and moving that forward in, you know, iterating the old school RuneScape design, which I feel like was probably in its infancy when things like Corrin came out. And that's why we get nowadays, you know, the different art style and just the different feelings as you head into different environments and biomes.
Well, I don't think it's just identity. I mean, it surely contributes, but I feel it's also tooling from what I understand, right? Like they didn't really have much in terms of, you know, actually putting areas and content together.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was like that's why, you know, we've seen such a good increase in quality as well. Like the underlying technical capabilities have grown as well, and I think they've really come to their right in Varlamor. So,
yeah, go ahead, finish your thought.
I mean, I hope they go back because, like, Hosidius and Shaysian, they were reworked, right, since the original current release.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that they go back and do Lovakang and Arceus as well. Because I think, I mean, Piscarillas, I don't know
that they're, feels yeah, right. Yeah.
Feels but fine. Like Arceus and Lovakang, I would love for that to get a treatment as well. And look, maybe we actually get some graphical area reworks elsewhere.
Old school graphical reworks. That's a topic I never thought I'd hear come up. And I wanted to actually pull on that thread because you mentioned when we were doing At First Light, what's the name of this? And I was like, and I said, well, you know, that's the saying, At First Light, you go out and you go do your hunting, right? And you had the idea, oh, the upcoming HD client for old school is going to support day-night cycles and weather.
Yeah, I think that's going to do even better, and it wouldn't surprise me if, like, Varlamor, they at least tested it in the new client with the official HD mode to make sure it looks good there. So I'm looking forward a lot to, you know, seeing how this area comes to life in that new context.
That's got to be what that's about. It's got to be.
Yeah, so, you know, like, adding up and spending time in Varlamor, I think, you know, it stands up there, right? Like the savannah, it's empty, right, as they usually are, but I think they did a good job at still filling it out and making it feel interesting and different from the rest of the world. So
indeed.
I'm excited for part two already.
Yep. And you know, part one definitely gave us enough to think about and enough to move through as we were. But we didn't talk about the mining last week, and I spent a good deal of time there. And you said this activity wasn't really for you. So just a quick overview for folks who haven't done it yet. It's a lean-back mining training method. The idea behind it is that you don't get any ore out of it, but instead is what you get some rock fragments that you can later bless atop the mountain that gives you about a third of the XP that you got from mining in prayer. So it's a way of training both skills at the same time, and it's another mining method out there that's lean back, and you're not going to get huge amounts of XP from it. I think the maximum that has been forecast is about 50,000 at level 99. Presently, right now, at about level 50-ish with a rune pickaxe, I'm getting around 22,000-23,000 an hour. Actively, which isn't much compared to other offerings, but it's lean back, and I appreciate the training method because it provides a way of also getting some passive prayer XP on the side. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean I think it's okay, but to me it doesn't feel new, right? Like, we already have the modeled out mine, which feels like a very similar level of activity that you spend. Right?
Yeah, except that's all mining rather than a dose of prayer on the side.
Yeah.
And it's more themed to mining. So I can see why you like it better.
Yeah, to me, it's just nothing much that, you know, this place gives that doesn't already exist elsewhere. It's nice to have it as an option. But with how out of the way and hard it is to get to, it, yeah.
Yeah, you really got to spend some time there.
Yeah, for me, like, I spent some time there. I spent a good chunk of, like, I think, like, 90 minutes or so there. But, yeah.
But it just wasn't resonating with you. And I mean, that's fair. And I think the thing that we look at with this is that at the end of the day, it's a different mining training method, and it's going to be one of those oddball ones out that's probably not going to be meta, but it's an option for people who, you know, want to get that prayer XP on the side. If somebody just, you know, wanted to sit there all the way to 99 mining and get a chunk of the prayer XP too. So that's the way I see that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's not going to, you know, completely change the skills. So it's not necessarily something that we should be jumping up and down about, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Varlamor changes specifically. We already talked about the moon changes this week, but we should just mention as well, I think the other biggest one that we were seeing was in the Hunter Guild. There's now an option to no longer receive back-to-back rumors that are the same. Are you going to be enabling that?
No, because I've been getting quite lucky, getting good tasks back to back. So, you know, you gain some, you lose some. I think it's fine. You can swap out most of the tasks. So,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, I'm probably going to turn that on when I go back and do rumors. Just because I had bad experiences with my first couple rumors, and maybe I just didn't get blessed by the RNG the same way that you did. So, were you anticipating there being more changes this week? Because I feel like this was a fairly slim Varlamor change week this week, and there really wasn't that much there. And to me, that's a good sign, because it's not like there was, you know, huge breaking balance issues that needed to be addressed.
Clearly, they know that they're going to do more, right? I just think, like, if you think about when that feedback post came out and how much time there was between that, and it needs to be built, it needs to be tested.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, you can't get that in this week. So I expect more changes over the next few weeks to roll out.
And, you know, I wonder what they're going to be, because I don't think there's been, you know, too much complaining in the community about many things here. So,
yeah,
we'll be keeping our eye out on that. But one thing that definitely did warrant a great amount of community discussion this week, the back and forth on Project Rebalance, part one. This was weird to me, and I think it was weird to you as well. In particular, just how, you know, some of this landed. And I feel like I was okay with most of the initial changes, as were you. But this week's discussion, particularly around the Sears Village Agility course, was eye-opening to me. I don't know if you want to go first with your take, or you want me to dive straight in on this and summarize this, because it definitely was an odd one.
Yeah, it's a weird one, honestly. I can see. So the problem with the Sears Village Agility Lab, of course, is that when you get the hard diary You get a teleport to the bank, Sizzlet's Bank, which is basically the start of the agility lap. So instead of running from the end of the lap to there, you can just teleport there. And first of all, you get a little bit of magic XP that way. And second of all, the agility XP all of a sudden just rises out the roof. And not even a level 70 and level 80 courses gave enough XP to counterbalance that, right? Clearly, some kind of unintentional side effect.
And
But
that's
the moment
precisely
that
what it was. Yeah.
but the moment that becomes in the game for too long, it becomes really hard to take that away. And they try tuning it down ever so slightly just to make a little bit more room between the current max XP per hour and the Sizz Village XP per hour, just to make enough room for there to be two worthwhile agility courses. And that got everybody very upset. I mean, I think overall it would still have been better, right? Like, sure, maybe 60 to 70 would have been a little bit slower, but 70 to 80 and 80 to 90 would have been faster.
Yeah.
So I think overall, a net win, but it's a psychological thing, right? Like,
Right.
when
And
something
I mean,
is the
we're
way it
back in the
is.
situation right now for people who want to use that teleport that after Project Rebalance lands, the XP for the Sears Village agility rooftop agility course is going to be the same.
Yeah.
And the response to that is to make Poledniec, Relica, and Ardoin stronger.
Yeah.
And the question
Yeah,
is, you know,
agility
will people
is.
do that given the fact that there's this shortcut
Yeah.
with the
Look at
teleport?
that point. At that point, agility is going to be slightly faster to train, and they kind of wanted to avoid that too much, but it is what it is. I think it's fine. I think a lot of people are also a little bit disappointed that a lot of this seems to be just a bunch of number tweaking, rather than solving like the real issues of the game, which is like run energy. So they gave an update. They gave an update on that, and honestly, I think those changes are good.
Yeah. Run energy restoration will be significantly more generous at low levels, and run energy drain rate will be reworked to scale with agility levels, also scaling harder with higher weights.
Yeah, which I think is interesting because that means that Graceful and such will continue maintaining its value. Whereas running around like you like to do so much in your rune armor will still be quite punishing.
Well, I mean, what am I to do if I'm running between combat things, right?
Yeah, but you wore those during quests that we didn't even have any combat in.
Because I like the way they looked. I like the way things look like that. It's as simple as that. It's an iconic look. Runeplate
You should
body, Ceridome and Kiteshield, Dragon
you should
Longsword,
just
and Legendskin.
install the Fashionscape plugin and then override your appearance while still wearing Graceful everywhere.
That's a thing?
Yeah. That's a thing.
Today
Except
I
for
learned.
you will
Today
be the
I
only
learned.
you will be the only one seeing that, but yeah.
It's just to make me feel better.
Yes, it's just to make you feel better that you can wear your trimmed rune armor all the time or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that existed, but I'm glad to see run energy changes coming in. And I think the biggest thing that we see about this is if we look at thieving, you see little nips and tucks around the edges of making pickpocketing better, as we talked about previously, as well as adding clue scrolls to pickpocketing, which
Yeah, I
makes
love that
sense. Or
change.
sorry, making stalls better.
Yeah. No, I love the change of adding clues. I think that's such a small little thing, but I
It
think
makes
it's
sense. And we had that in leagues too, didn't we?
no.
No, we didn't. Okay. And then we get to mining, and this is where the thing I think we wanted to talk about here is rebalance, is the emphasis on the word rebalance, is that this was the first thing that you pointed out, is that agility had an 85% acceptance on the proposals in terms of the survey that they did. And they're making some changes there as a result of that. Whereas mining is just going full steam ahead here. with 82% of the people being happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, comes down to that entire discussion on the Sears Village Agility course, which you summarized very well as just a communication issue with how Project Rebalance was brought forward. And it's rare that we actually see these communications issues with the old school team. But do you think that they've solved this and it's going to be full steam ahead here? Or there's, do you think there's still issues hiding in the midst?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't... quite solve these issues. Like, my guess is that, you know, they gave the percentages, right? Like, the acceptance of agility was 82%, and mining was 82%, agility was 85%. And for some reason, agility needed more changes. But what we don't see is that the percentage is not the only thing that the survey came up with, right? Like, there might have been way more specific feedback, or the feedback might have all aligned much more, so that there's more of a consensus. And still, like, I think it was like a scaling question as well, right? Like, much better, somewhat better, equally good, worse. And like, there might have been a difference there as well. So, and trying to communicate that nuance in a news post without, you know, making it too bloated up, it's hard. I think they shouldn't have shared the percentages probably, and nobody would have, you know, batted an eye.
Yeah, that's fair, because, you know, in mining, there's also the question of what's going to happen with Zulcano in terms of XP versus loot. And, you know, in many ways, some people who, you know, frequent that skilling boss regularly are going to say that, well, maybe this is actually a bigger deal than some of the agility stuff, but it's not necessarily having the same reaction to it. And I think it's just the folks who are the fan of the Sears Village agility meta that are driving that point forward. And, you know, credit to Jagex for looking out to that. But that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, is a communications and framing issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall...
It happens. I don't think, you know... you know, we shouldn't be... What's the saying again? We shouldn't be throwing out the baby with the bathwater, or did I just make something?
No,
up?
That's a saying.
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, as in don't sacrifice the entire update because a couple of little things are going bad with it. Or
well,
you know,
also
or
no change
rough.
Of communication strategy because of
right.
You know,
Yeah. Because, you know, there's another game out there that you can see what happens when the communication strategy dithers and whatnot. So, but.
Moving on,
yes. Yeah, we probably don't want to talk about that here, do we?
No.
The Easter event. I enjoyed this. When I first started doing this Easter quest, I didn't know what the reward was going to be for this, and I was so pleased when at the end of it I saw that I got the Egg Priest outfit.
Uh-huh.
And just some of the messaging and the language used in the quest, you know, was truly chuckle-worthy. Not as much as our frog quest this week, but
labor dispute. Okay.
Yeah, not as much as that, but just the tie-ins and whatnot. There is a meme circa 2017, and there was a line in the quest by one of the egg priests. He says, "Look at all those eggs. Wowie." And if you go back in time, I don't know if this was intentional or unintentional, but there's a meme out there. Have you ever been in a position where you forgot something like your wallet or your phone or your keys when you left the house?
Rarely.
Okay, well, there's a mnemonic device you can use to remember that. It's Wowie.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which stands for wallet.
Uh-huh.
Phone. With capital O, W keys, and here's where you start remembering your egg and your backup egg.
All right.
So whenever you see Wowie, and whenever you see your keys, your phone, or your wallet, remember Wowie and your two eggs, your egg and your backup egg. And just the fact that, you know, Wowie was mentioned in the quest on that, I just wanted to bring that little meme to light with this here.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that went over a lot of people's heads, but it was something that even Earth posted in the Discord.
It's what I really like is like these events that are short lived. They can just afford to go a little bit crazy.
Yeah. And you know, there's even a new egg church and whatnot in the shape of an egg, which I thought was quite neat. And of course, you get all the Easter events past and. Easter rewards past and present for doing this. Nice and simple, no grinding. So I like that. And if Easter's your thing, go check that out. That's in game presently. You can start it just south of the Grand Exchange in Varrock. But That brings us to the end of the program this week. Anything you'd like to say? Anything else you'd like to say? Get off your chest before we go, Varlamore wise, bossing wise, equipment wise. Labor dispute wise?
No. Bloody capitalists.
That was another thing that was mentioned here in that quest. Yeah. We forgot to mention that. So, Oh boy.
No, I mean, I had a really good week. I think a very varied week as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep being surprised by the level of detail that Varlamore brought. Level of attention to detail, I should say. And
it really is. Is it fair to call it an expansion?
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely sort of we might have seen the Moons of Peril as an update. We might have seen
the Hunter Guild,
the mining as an update. We might have seen, you know, a lot of these things you might have seen as individual update. And they've just been grouped together. I think it makes sense. It builds some hype. I like the idea of this not being the only thing. I like the idea of like still having some smaller updates in there as well. And not everything sort of tied to these big hype-worthy releases.
Tentpole releases.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, what I've really appreciated about Old School is that, you know, there's nice chunks of updates. And sometimes they're small but significant, right? Like, that's maybe a good way of putting them. Like, they're not game-changing, but they're still, like, huge quality of life upgrades or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And, you know, it's about walking that line between these big tentpole content releases and the small things that Old School became known for that just add the character to the game. And I think that's really what, you know, has become apparent to me over the year and a half that I've been playing Old School. So I appreciate that, and I look forward to update day each and every week. And that's why listeners should look forward to the Old School RuneScape Update podcast each and every week, which you can subscribe to. If you want, and you're a podcast listener, that's the best way to get it automatically each and every week. Update.show/OS. We're on Apple, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and more. Just visit there and click your favorite podcast listener. We're also on YouTube as well at youtube.com/OSRS update. And you do need to put the @ in front of that or else the link will not work. That's one thing that has annoyed me with YouTube over the years is that they just add all sorts of things in there like handles and whatnot, but it's youtube.com/@OSRS update. But that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye.